I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Big Bad Morning Show, Jeremy Conant Norris, hour number three here. Got Jerry Bembry coming up, World of Stupid, but we're talking about the Orioles farm system right now. They've fallen off a bit since their best prospects have graduated up to the majors. I still think there's good pieces in the farm system. You have some guys that are at the lower levels, but you know, looking at some of the guys at AAA, Kobe Mayo, Sam Basayo, Joe was just telling me Mayo grades out 41st, I believe, Joe, and you get to, whose poll is this or whose list?
Kylie McDaniel from ESPN.
Okay, and Sam Basayo is 13th. I always wonder about this because year to year this thing changes, and we've been hearing Basayo and Mayo being up top. Mayo is, he's hit some home runs, his batting average is low, the other numbers look okay, but Sam Basayo's hit 7 home runs in 26 games. He's only played 26 games, so I don't know how you drop him, but to me, he's still one of the top prospects, if not the best prospect in baseball, because of the position he plays, because he's a switch hitter and he hits for power and average. So all of those things, but you know, you still have some other guys, Honeycutt in your farm system. We've talked about Enrique Bradfield Jr., Beavers, Judge Fabian. There are names there. There are pieces you can move. The one thing that this farm system is missing is pitching prospects. But they just really haven't drafted a lot of them. So with the pitching prospects that you have here, most of them are kind of on that cusp right now. I'm not saying there's nobody in the lower system, but they might be years away.
Funny. I forgot about Bradfield Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't talked about him in a while.
No. And then Vance Honeycutt's been, he's had a couple of, I haven't looked at his numbers to be fair, but he's had a couple of like big plays. I've seen the highlights. One was a big catch and throw out, I believe. And another one was a home run. But you start looking at some of the guys in the farm system, and yeah, I know people are going to feel like there's not a lot on the way, but they do have a bunch there. And when teams come a-calling, it's not like they trade for single A, they trade for double A, they trade for, you know, whatever it may be, lower level guys. You just have to factor it in. And when that happens, you know, it's, you'll see them move up slowly, and I think that's when people start to learn their names. The mm-hmm. guys that people tend to remember are the ones that have been hanging around for a long time because we've been talking about them. And I'm not, this isn't me going back and trying to bash Kyle Stowers, but Stowers was in the minors for a long time.
Yes.
26 years old.
Yes.
And then you're looking at some of these other guys and you're like, okay, what's Kobe Mayo dropping to 41st? By the way, being 41st is still really good, but this was a guy that we expected to be like a top 10 prospect. And I don't know why it fluctuates from year to year on some of these lists. Again, Basayo being hurt, maybe that drops him, but how do you feel about the farm system, Ed?
Compared to the way it was, or just the present state, I still think it's really strong. I know it's not where it was, and it's dropped quite a bit in the rankings, but you still have some really, really strong prospects. I mean, Basayo was like on everybody's list. Bradfield Jr. is another one. I mean, you're talking about things like, just thinking about this, where you know, you put him in center field, move Cedric to left, pick your right fielder.
I don't know that Sed's going to be here.
I'm just saying. They might not.
Because I think you're going to want more power out of your corner outfield spots. And if you have Kierstead and Kowser and who knows mm-hmm. what else. I mean, what if a free agent comes and you're like, hey, this guy would be perfect for us. Maybe Kowser's playing center until Bradfield Jr. is ready. Maybe they trade Bradfield Jr. Yeah. and put Kowser in. I mean, you have options of things you can do. But the other thing I want to say is like having prospects that are ready to come up. I mean, the way this was written, Joe's 100% right. Your prospects are here. The guys that you wanted to pan out, you're not looking for somebody to replace Westberg. You're not looking for somebody, Henderson, Kowser, Adley Rutschman, which Sam Basayo's coming in. That's going to add to it. And we got to wait and see what Kierstead's going to be. I still think Kierstead can be a major league hitter, but let the guy play for crying out loud. Just let him play.
Consistently. Seriously.
I know you paid Tyler O'Neill and some of these. I don't need to see those guys at this point. Let's take a look at this guy. And I'm not saying Tyler O'Neill's not going to play. DH him. Find out if this... Kierstead made an unbelievable play in the outfield the other day. Nice little catch running in. Was that yesterday? Yes. Yeah, he made that sliding catch that could have dropped in. And again,
I thought it wasn't. That's right. I remember now. It looked like it was going to drop in for sure.
Yeah.
And I was
worried about him and Gunnar running into each other because of the whole Carlos Correa Buxton thing that happened. But yeah, like he makes, and again, that's where I think some of his struggles are. It's going to be, how does he hit left-handed pitching? What does he look like in the outfield? Or do you have a glorified DH? Because if it's a glorified DH, then what are we doing? You know, like, so you have all these prospects here. The one thing that you're missing is pitching. And so that's where, obviously, now, and especially if they make trades and they trade guys like Sagano or Eflin or whoever it may be, Kramer, don't be surprised if any of those guys get moved. Now you're looking for a bunch of starters for next year, and you're right back in that same boat of trying to figure out, did we sign the right guys to help this team out? So let's grab a phone call real quick because, go ahead.
How do you feel about the farm system? Like,
I think the farm system's good. The one thing that's missing is pitching, but I'm one of those guys, I believe in what Dan O'Dowd said, that the volatility of drafting starting pitchers, depending on what round you're doing it in, you have to draft pitchers. I'm not saying don't draft them, but if you like a position player better than a pitcher in that round, why would you ever draft the pitcher then? Because the position player is rated higher for you.
Right.
And then again, it's the debate. Do you want to draft college players where you feel like maybe you know what their ceiling is, or kick the tires on a high school pitcher and say, man, we hope this guy turns into something. And a lot of guys flame out, you know? So
yeah,
let's grab Eli in Parkville. Eli, you're on the fan. Eli? What's up, man?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, cool. I wouldn't worry too much about drafting pitchers right now. I've seen Ben Gallen as a free agent. Okay, I would just go out and sign him for like a 4-year deal, and then we should be fine next year.
Which pitcher did you say?
Zach Gallen.
Yeah, that's a name that's going to be on the open market next year unless Arizona throws a bunch of money at him. But they just paid Corbin Burns, so I think they let him walk.
Y'all take it easy. Congratulations.
Man. Thanks, Eli.
Thanks, man.
All right, let's grab another phone caller here. Wasn't he already on this station? Rashawn's in Baltimore. He's on the fan.
I wasn't on this station, man. It was my man Pat, you know. No,
that's on this station. Show, you know. That was through our airwaves.
National, you know. Well, people always, California can hear me, man. You know, just local people. People up in all these quarters in Towson, you can hear me on this station, man.
I can't wait, Pat, until
about
Pat
three
says.
Three people in California heard you today.
Yeah, Pat says, hey, we're going out to that fraudulent Cowboys fan, Rashawn in Baltimore. Yeah.
No, Pat, cool, man. Pat, cool. But, hey, Ed, man, you know, congratulations on beating cancer. You know, I hope everybody can make it out tonight, support you.
I hope so. Nice to see you.
Man, I thought he was going to say congratulations on your Knicks win last night. I thought he was going to be a jerk. He's being kind.
No, don't do that. No, man. My man Trippy, he ain't going to be able to make it, though.
Hello.
He should be home soon, though. So I talked to him last night. He in good spirits and everything. So, but yeah, like, as far as this farm system and everything, man, I like the guys we got down there, Bukayo, Mayo, Bradfield, the Honeycomb guy. I mean, like, we got a lot of guys we can bring up. But, like, sorry, Steve, I know you're listening, man, but Mountcastle got to go, man. It's time for him to move on. You know, if we can trade maybe Mountcastle for, like, a number three starter, something like that, you know, get that in return. But I'm not getting rid of Mullins, though. I like Mullins. If we can get Mullins for a 3-year, maybe $65 million deal,
that's too
I
much.
Think that's worth it.
That's
you
too
think
much.
That's too much?
100% it's too much.
50 then? For 3 Mullins? Years 50 then?
Yeah, I mean, look, go look at what Tyler O'Neill got, and you're talking about you're paying for power and all that. You're not necessarily paying $20 million a year for a defensive player.
No. Well, that's very important out there. The catches he's made out there is very well worth it, man. What center field in the league is better than Mullins?
Oh, I don't think, like, I love Cedric Mullins in center field, but you've got guys that can go over there, and then the drop-off isn't as great as you think with some of the guys they have on this team. And again, you've got a bevy of outfielders. You got to figure out what you're doing. This isn't me saying I don't want Cedric Mullins here. I'm just saying I'm not paying him $20 million a year or more than that. Just that ain't happening.
Then what do you think he can get on the open market if we don't re-sign him?
I mean, I think he's probably somewhere between $8 and $12 million a year.
Okay, well, if he can accept like a hometown discount or accept that from us, I'd love to keep him for $8 to $10 million a year.
We'll see what he gets.
What if they send him to a contender right now?
Yeah, if they trade him to a contender and he has a big, like, he can get paid in the offseason if he continues.
Yeah, that's true, though, you know, because Mullins would be good for contender. I can imagine him put him in the bottom of the lineup. Man, you know, I wish the guy well. And one more question, right, on Brandon Hyde, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I still feel, you know, he had enough equity to get, you know, to ride this thing out and, you know, leading us to two straight playoff appearances and the best record in the league the past 2 years, I guess, combined, right? You know, they should let him play out and just get this thing right. But you think it's an opportunity for him out there somewhere else, maybe as a position coach or maybe on the fan. I mean, you know, y'all hire fired managers, right? You know, so really? Anything.
He'd be good. That's general managers, though.
General manager, you know, he's his best baseball expert.
Some kind of manager. Yeah. We have a lot of former GMs. Thanks for the call, Rashawn. I'd say this, though, like, when you start looking at the players that you're going to acquire and if Sed got traded to a team and what would happen there, like, there's a chance that the guy could make more money than what I expect. I know fans here love him more than what other fans are going to love him for the production you get offensively. And he is very streaky as a hitter, but... I said this before, when you have a guy that wants to be here, it's almost like you want to keep him. And with Brandon Hyde, he'll pick up somewhere as a position coach or a bench coach. He'll probably bide his time and see what's out there. Cause there's a lot of relationships and friendships that we have that, you know, they have in this league, and guys give their friends another opportunity. And it wasn't like he did a bad job here. So, all right, coming up next, we got the World of Stupid and Ed.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about porn star Bonnie Blue again. She got arrested. I'll tell you for what. We're also going to talk about a stupid app where you can finance your burrito. And surprisingly, that company is now in trouble. And then lastly, this is one of the strangest stories I've ever seen. A Kentucky couple, you know, we had the tornadoes going through there.
Yeah.
They were clinging to each other, holding hands. They both survived, but they both lost something. I'll tell you what they lost. It's such a weird story when we come back in the World of Stupid.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to it. People are screaming, free her. Porn star Bonnie Blue famously slept with 1,057. How are we not involved
in that? Did she really?
Yeah.
It's 1,057?
Yeah. And ironically, she didn't sleep with anyone from here, I don't think. 1,057 men in one day. Like, what is it with these whore-offs?
I don't know.
Like, everybody's trying to outdo someone, whether it's... Oh, God, man.
Jeremy, that's just to cut in real quick. There is a woman named Annie Knight.
Uh-huh.
She apparently slept with 583 men. She is in the hospital and reportedly not doing well. That's not a joke. She's legitimately in the hospital.
Oh, my God. Well, and then they're saying now that this thing just got updated with her, that people believe the video that she's in is an actual porn movie in a fake cop car. Nothing would surprise me. I mean, the stuff that we've seen from these, a lot of these girls today, like there was another woman that wanted to sleep with 1,000 men in 1 year and she slept with 500 in a day and she was happy. She was telling everybody, hey, I met my goal. Wow, way to set your goals.
That's impossible.
Let me ask your dad if he's proud. Wait a minute. I'm pretty sure. Yep. Not here. It's just unbelievable, man. Ed, you've probably dated some of these women. What do you think?
I've dated women who tried to be some of these women, for sure.
Ugh. Oofa.
Oh, oh, my God. 583 men in 6 hours. 6 hours.
Like, how does that work? I know how the whole thing works. Like, I know what goes in what, but, like, the length of it? Like, not the guys, the period of time that you have. All right, I'm getting down a rabbit hole. I can't get myself out of this. The length of it. What the hell are you saying?
That's like...
And somebody had said, she had posted something that said, big shout out to our set janitor, Connor. The shag table was kept squeaky clean. All the shoots. Thank you. Gross, Connor.
What?
Gross. He's the guy that cleaned the table up every time they were going to. Anyway, I'm moving on from that. How about this? I can't believe this happened in a shocking turn of events. Klarna, that's K-L-A-R-N-A. The app that allows people to finance their burritos over 4 interest-free payments is hemorrhaging money. Surprise, surprise. Buy now, pay later. The Swedish company's net losses doubled in the first quarter, even as its user base and revenue grew. Klarna reported Monday, weeks after pausing its plans to go public over concerns about tariffs and economic uncertainty. Klarna's consumer credit losses swelled 17% in the first quarter from the same period a year earlier, hitting $136 million. Industry-wide, BNPL borrowers are increasingly falling behind on their loan payments in a survey conducted by the credit platform LendingTree. Somebody couldn't have told you this, that people are going to fall behind in their payments for burritos. If you're financing a burrito, there's a reason why you're financing it.
I can't believe this. I mean, I know it's real. I know Klarna. I just cannot believe people finance burritos.
Their net losses are $99 million right now. And I said this to you, like John Oliver did this on Last Week Tonight. We all talk about DoorDash, Uber Eats, all those. What a ripoff it is and how much money you're spending. They're saying that you're actually not paying enough money for it for what it should cost, considering the driver, the restaurant, where they're coming from. I mean, you can literally order like 15 miles from your house and have somebody drive, hoof it all the way to you. And from my understanding, DoorDash and Grubhub and these companies, they're hemorrhaging money too.
They're not doing well. I've heard this.
And they might have to go away or raise their prices, which for a consumer seems ridiculous. Because I remember paying $40 for a Chick-fil-A meal online. I remember that because I was high as a kite and didn't leave my house.
Three cookies online.
Well, I ordered. God, the things I eat when I get high. Jeez, I ordered three pieces of cake one night.
Yes.
I did order three cookies.
Yeah.
You asked me how they were. I said, I don't remember them, but I ate them all in the same sitting. I know that. The munchies are real. You know what I like to do? I like to take Ozempic and weed and see which one works out first. So I get the munchies or do I not want to eat? Eventually, I just end up throwing up. But yeah, this is finance your burrito. I've even seen that when I've been online where PayPal's like, would you like to finance this in four payments? I'm like, it's $12. No, I don't want to. I would like to pay it in full. Let me get to this last story because this one's a gut punch. It's not funny, but I find it unbelievably interesting. Kentucky couple. We're holding hands while clinging to each other when devastating 170-mile-per-hour tornado tears them apart. What did it do, Ed? What do you think they lost?
Their arms.
They each lost the arm that they were holding. Like, literally went through them.
Yeah.
They survived. I
didn't read this. I just figured that's what happened.
He lost his left arm. She lost her right arm. And the force of the 170-mile-hour winds from the tornado in Kentucky literally ripped this married couple apart. Paul and Gail Kline. Kline were huddled in the bedroom of their London, Kentucky. Hello. I wonder what they speak like there. No, not like that.
Not like that. No.
You sure in London, Kentucky, they don't. Hello, puppet. No. Anyway, they were taking refuge from the tornado sweeping through the region and leveling towns in its wake. When the twister touched down in Laurel County, the terrified husband and wife held each other's hands for comfort. And the tornado tore right through their home and pulled Paul and Gail, who were both in their 60s, apart, along with their arms, who I don't know if they found them either. Like, we talked about
them. They didn't bleed out. I don't know how quick they were found after that.
You got to tourniquet that thing and set it up, right?
Yeah.
Like, and what I think let me go back to this picture of him. He's at the elbow, or at least maybe it was above the elbow. I don't know. Like, I'm assuming it just pulled off the lower part of the arm. God, man, that just sounds awful. Here, you want to see their house, Ed? Look at this. I was telling Ed when I was doing roofing, we had those tornadoes come through in Annapolis. And it's weird, like in the roofing industry, everybody's trying to be the first ones on a scene like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get the insurance jobs and you make good money on it. And boom, boom, before you know it, you got 10 jobs in one. It's a great payday. Yeah. So they all get out there like Lewis and Clark and plant their flags in everyone's yard to let you know, this is my territory now. So I got off the air here at 10 o'clock and I drove out to Annapolis when the tornadoes hit up there and there was literally nothing. Like every house, even the houses that had roofs had flag plants in the yard. And as I'm driving through, I see a house that's missing the top of it. And about a mile further, its chimney was over there.
It took the whole damn chimney
and threw it like a mile.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the destruction they can do, and I can only imagine people that go, oh, yeah, tornadoes coming through. We get those watches all the time until it actually comes through your neighborhood. I saw it rip through Perry Hall, and it just damaged all the way across. So, yeah, losing your arms, not fun. That's your world, stupid. All right, we're going to talk to Jerry Bembry next. A little NBA recap. Sorry, Ed, we got to do it. We got to talk about the Knicks collapse. And preview tonight's game with the Thunder.
I'm looking at any night.
looking at the Thunder and the Wolves. We do that next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Conda, Ed Norris. We welcome in Jerry Bembry. And Jerry, I got to start you off, and I'm sorry to do this to you and Ed. I got to start you off with a stat I just read that is just, it's an absolute gut punch. NBA teams were 0-970 when down by 14 points or more, 14 or more points in the final 2 minutes and 50 seconds of regulation in the playoffs for the last 27 postseasons. They are now 1-970. How do you feel about last night, Jerry?
I feel gutted right now. Yeah. You know, it was celebratory for a while. I thought we were going to have a 1-0 victory and just kind of, you know, steal their joy and the pace. You know what? Honestly, I never felt comfortable. Right? I know that the Pacers have staged a couple comebacks in the playoffs. I know they're a good shooting team. I know they don't give up. And you look at what they did. They hit six shots at the end. In that span, they hit six shots. Five of them with threes. The six shot that Halliburton hit to tie the game was an inch away from being a
yes.
three. It was tough. It was really tough.
This is not so much the game. What do you think about Halliburton with the choke sign at the end?
Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to laugh.
I don't know, man. You can't do. You know what? Reggie Miller did it.
So I know.
Mason did it. Yeah. I guess he's channeling his inner Reggie Miller. He wants to be the villain. So you got the role now. You're the villain now. Yeah. And the Knicks fans will be all over you.
Halliburton's dad was at a bar, Jerry, and he was doing it because I don't think he's allowed to go to the games anymore after acting like a jackass towards Giannis. So.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go to the Garden. He doesn't want to show his face at the Garden because, he would get quite the welcoming there. But it was a tough game. I'm going to tell you what I thought went wrong. I thought that the Knicks were moving the ball, and then Jalen Brunson checked in, and Jalen, for as incredible of a game he had 43 points. He was minus eight and plus minus. He started hunting for fouls. He slowed the pace of the game down, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Jalen, why are you over dribbling? Pass the ball. What are you doing? But I thought he was hunting for fouls, and it slowed the pace. And I think that just kind of ruined the Knicks' rhythm that they had.
Jerry, can you blame him, though? Because SGA just won an MVP doing that for a whole season. Sorry.
Anyway. Yeah, you know, in one sense, you know, that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But it was going so well before he checked back in the game. I mean, Miles McBride in the game, they were plus 12 and a plus minus. Cam Payne gave you 10 minutes. You know, he only scored 6 points, but I thought he had a little bit of an impact on the game. And so I think that once you're moving and rolling like that, just keep pushing the pace. And I think they settled. They thought, okay, let's play not to lose the game. Let's, you know, instead of playing to win the game. And I think in slowing the rhythm of the game, that allowed Indiana to come back.
And that is never a good strategy. I hate that in boxing or basketball or football when you start to play not to lose instead of just playing your game. Because the Pacers didn't do that. They played the same game they were playing. I just wonder, the Pacers have done this, so this is no big surprise. They've done it recently in the playoffs. Do you think the fact that Thibodeau keeps – I mean, he plays these guys essentially the entire game. I mean, they get like, you know, 40 to 44 to 46 minutes. Does that catch up with you when you're only getting one game a day off between games in a playoff, you know, postseason?
I think it could. I think we'll see during the course of this series because it's every other day right now. But the Knicks are used to it. They've been the whole year, and I think that if you look at this Knicks team this year as opposed to last year, you know, they're injury free right now, and so I think that's why they still win the series. They still have a good shot of winning the series. But give the Pacers credit. I've never seen a team in that situation shoot the way they did. Everything they were throwing up went in. I think the Knicks could have stepped up their defensive pressure a little bit. But Nesmith, unbelievable down the stretch in the shot that he hit. And Halliburton, I mean, come on. That was an amazing shot. That ball stood in the air for a long, long time before falling in. You know, I think that as Knicks fans, we watched and said, oh, my gosh, this is not going to go our way today. And it did. And it's unfortunate, but we'll see how this team bounces back. We'll see what kind of resolve they have. And it's a tough Knicks team. It's not the same Knicks team as it was a year ago, and I think they'll bounce back.
I'm pretty sure I've been here most days, but, Jerry, I don't think we've talked to you since the NBA lottery got rigged. there's a lot of things going on there. But first off, can you just kind of give me your thoughts on Giannis, the lottery, where he ends up, and this whole thing with SGA and Jokic. It's kind of funny. I heard George Karl kind of call out Mike Malone for saying SGA, that's why he's the MVP. That seemed kind of ugly as well. I mean, I know it's loaded, but there's a lot there.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, in SGA, I think that look at his numbers this year, and Joker puts up these phenomenal numbers every year, but SGA, he was on the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. He was the league high scorer. So you really can't deny the guy in that situation. I'm a Joker fan. I'd have been more upset with Embiid winning a couple of years ago.
No, yeah.
NBA winning this year,
but, didn't he average like 32 points really a game? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was 32 a game. It's just amazing. So, yeah, you give SGA a lot of credit. You can't take anything away from him. And you couldn't go wrong with either guy. SGA was the best player on the best team. So, in terms of the lottery, yeah, I remember the Knicks back in the day when they won the lottery for Patrick Ewing, and people were saying the same thing. And it is kind of odd that you trade your best guy, Luka, a guy who may be the face of the league if he gets in shape, and then you win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg, who could be that kind of
generational talent.
Could be a great player in the league. Generational talent. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. So yeah, I can see why fans say it might be rigged, but you know what, the NBA is going to stand by their guns and it's all fair and square. But my goodness, it looks really, really odd right now.
Jerry, appreciate it, man. As always, we love talking to you about. Well, maybe next time when we have you on, we'll be able to talk about a Knicks win, because I do think they're winning Game 2, and both of these series could be pretty interesting. But we'll see.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, and I put my bid in to go to the NBA Finals this year, and I got my credential approved yesterday, so I'm going to be there. The Knicks now have to show up. They have to show up.
They will.
Jerry, good luck, man. It's great talking to you. Appreciate your time, as always.
All right, guys. Thank you.
See you, Jerry.
What a good dude, man.
I know.
I could talk to him every day. I love the NBA. I have my reservations now about certain things, mm-hmm. and you could tell me – you can tell me whatever you want. You can even show me how they did it, and I can watch it, and I'm going to tell you, your guy's lying. That NBA lottery was fixed. I know it was fixed.
How do you know?
Because I do. Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah.
1.8% chance of winning it.
I know.
After you trade your superstar to the biggest franchise in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's just crazy, man. All right. We're going to get back to some more talk here. NFL, we've got Jody Haislip coming up. We're going to talk about Christos FC and what they've been doing, the Daily Line. But up next, league owners do not ban the tush push, with the vote falling 22-10. Ravens were one of the teams voting no to the ban. Are you surprised about the outcome? And want to talk about Jim Irsay a little bit as well, as he passed. I know there's still a lot of Colts fans in this town that don't like the Irsay family. We do that next here on the...
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Welcome back, Big Bad Morning Show, Jeremy Conn, Ed Norris. Now, talking some NFL, we'll get to this first and then touch on Jim Irsay in just a second. League owners did not ban the tush push with a vote of 22-10. Did seem kind of odd. Like, you get 22 of the 32 teams doing it. So they didn't do like majority rules. You got to get what, 75% of the vote? That's what it feels like?
It is 75%.
Yeah.
25 to 32. It's 75% of the vote.
And they didn't get that, so now the tush push isn't banned. Ed, you pointed out something. Do you remember the numbers you told me? How many touchdowns the Eagles got on the tush
27.
Push?
27.
And how much the rest of the league got?
25. That's just 2022.
They've had two more touchdowns in the entire league.
Than the other 31 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them combined.
And do you really? That's a really high bar, that 75%. That's a wild total. Because you know what it takes the Senate to impeach a president?
What?
Two-thirds. So to impeach a president, you don't need two-thirds of the vote. To get this through, you got to have 75%.
Why don't we have the baseball owners vote on the president and the Senate vote on this?
Yes.
Maybe we'll get it right.
Yeah.
Look, man, I just look at the way this vote comes down. I'm just shocked that I'm looking at nine other teams, that they don't look at those numbers and go, yeah, that's an advantage. But I'm assuming some of those other teams either don't care or use it themselves?
Well, the Ravens didn't vote against it.
So, but they use it.
They use it.
With Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
I mean,
Lions didn't.
If Mark Andrews isn't here, they'll find somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of weird that a lot of teams that were worried about their quarterback will go to the tight end now or even a running back and then have another back behind him shoving him. But
yeah,
it's going to stay in. And the other thing, you know, like looking at this, I was surprised at the outcome. I thought this was definitely getting banned. I thought all the talk leading up to it was going to happen.
I'd be honest, I thought it was too. I would assume, especially because the, you know, Eagles just won the Super Bowl. They, you know, they're pretty dominant during the season. This is the play that no one can stop. If you look at the stat about them scoring more touchdowns than the entire combined 31 other teams with that play, I'm like, yeah, we don't want this anymore. And I'm surprised.
Let me ask you about Jim Irsay. I know, like, you weren't here when the Colts left town and how everybody felt. It was tried by Baltimore to get the Colts letters, you know, Colts naming rights and all the stuff, the uniforms, anything, the history of it. You know, try to get all that back. Now, they got the, you know, you look at certain things, we're always going to claim the history no matter what. But Jim Irsay didn't want to sell it back. You know, that's the team he grew up rooting for, even though they were in Indiana for a majority of his life. But being here as a kid, his dad was a drunk. Jim, and I'm not trying to besmirch a guy that just passed, but he did have his issues with pain pills and different things. He said,
he said
a lot of goofy things when he was talking about his, who was the black lady that took care of him? And he always brought her up. He'd always talk about how she was like his mom and how much he loved her. He was a weirdo when it came to buying like music history. I think he had like all of Tom Petty's guitars when he died. Like he would go out and just buy all kinds of craziness. And I think the only reason we really found out who Jim Irsay was is because they drafted Peyton Manning and he helped put them back on the, you know, in the league. Their names came up because you were constantly seeing him in the postseason. He had one of the best players in the league. Then you followed up with Andrew Luck. Everybody was wondering what was going to happen with him. I didn't know he was sick.
Bob Sanders?
I love Bob Sanders.
Is that who the best player we're talking about?
No, that was Peyton Manning. Bob Sanders was one of the best safeties, yeah, the bullet. But no, like you look at what Jim Irsay's done in this league, and I don't think it's something where people are going to go, oh my God, he was this amazing owner. I think we're going to remember him mainly from some of the crazy things he said.
Well, there's one thing I kind of like that he said.
What?
That's Sarah Palin.
Oh yeah, God.
What?
Did I read that to you?
Yeah.
Did I retweet it?
You didn't say it on the air, so say it.
Yeah. Well, there's another tweet where he said it's time for let me turn this to you. It's time to let the monster get out of its cage to feed. What do you think he was talking about? So, but
he looked like such a drunk in that picture.
Well, he was. I mean, he had his issues. And look, he followed in the footsteps of his dad, which isn't that strange to see. But what was the tweet that I read to you? Oh, here it is. I know it's a sin, but I have a crush on Sarah Palin's feet.
Yes.
Gross. Here you go. Here's some more Jim Irsay tweets. And on First Take, the woman that preceded Stephen A., how dare you pretend to know me? I don't know your name. I don't care to. If my black mother, Dorothy, was still alive, you'd be in some big hot water. You are mean and ugly. You're a nothing burger. Thanks, Jim. he said that, I mean, quite a few times he was going off on different things in these tweets. I mean, here you go. Here's another one. Standing in front. Shaking your ass. Take you backstage. Take a drink of my glass. I guess he's just doing lines for music.
I mean, I know everybody hates him here because of his family. They took the Colts and all. But the guy drinks. He likes feet. How bad could he be?
I'll leave you with this last tweet. I hired the gimp from Pulp Fiction to clean my reading glasses. He lives in a trap door in my owner's suite, but also does my grocery shopping. What?
My glasses.
There's another one. These don't end. Hey, what's the matter, man? We're gonna come around at 12 with some Puerto Rican girls that are just dying to meet you.
Yeah.
Jim Irsay, the gift that keeps on giving. Rest in peace. I know there's a lot of people in this city that hate him, hate that family, and you can kind of understand why.
Hey, Eddie, can you lend me a few bucks and tonight can you give us a ride?
Is that him or is that a song lyric?
That's a Springsteen song.
Yeah, see?
Beating across the river.
All right, guys, the final hour of the program's coming up. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jody Haislip with Christos FC. Some cool things there. We got in touch with those guys when they made that incredible run. I forget the name of the tournament. He'll be able to explain everything. But Jody joins us next. Daily
Football
Line.
Is life.
There you go. And by the way, George Wendt died?
Yes.
Did you know Ted Lasso is his nephew in real life?
Yeah. No.
Jason Sudeikis is George Wendt's nephew.
Really?
Yep. Look it up. I'm sure you'll go down that rabbit hole. We talk about it coming up next.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.